From American Public Media, this is an American Radio Works documentary, Remembering Jim Crow. This is Deborah Amos. For much of the 20th century, African Americans in the South were barred from the voting booth, sent to the back of the bus, and walled off from many of the rights they deserved as American citizens. Segregation was legal, and the system was called Jim Crow.
Well, my grandmother always told me, says, you have a certain place and stay in it.
My grandfather was just as free of a white man he was a rattlesnake.
At that time, you did something that you shouldn't do. If you were black, they would hang you.
And when they got ready to lynch him, they'd have a picnic.
In the coming hour, Remembering Jim Crow, a special report from American Radio Works, the National Documentary Unit of American Public Media. First, the news. This is a special report from American Radio Works, Remembering Jim Crow. I'm Deborah Amos. It lasted about 80 years. It seized every state in the American South. People died because of it, went hungry because of it, lived in fear and misery because of it. They called it Jim Crow. White authorities in the South imposed a system of laws and social customs designed to deny African Americans their dignity and their rights as citizens.
Alabama. All passenger stations in this state operated by any motor transportation company shall have separate waiting rooms or space and separate ticket windows for the white and colored races.
North Carolina. School textbooks shall not be interchangeable between the white and colored schools, but shall continue to be used by the race first using them.
Mississippi. The marriage of a white person with a Negro or mulatto or person who shall have 1/8 or more of Negro blood shall be unlawful and void.
I'm Leon Litwack. I'm a professor of history at the University of California at Berkeley. The term Jim Crow first appeared in minstrelsy in the early 19th century. Thomas Daddy Rice, who was a white minstrel, popularized the term. Like so many, he used burnt cork to blacken his face. He dressed himself in the garment of a beggar. He grinned, of course, broadly. And then he imitated the dancing and singing and demeanor generally ascribed to Negro character.
I went down to the river, I didn't mean to stay, but there I see so many guys I couldn't get away. Wheel about and turn about and do just so. Every time I wheel about, I jump Jim Crow.
And calling it Jump Jim Crow, he based the song on a routine he had seen performed in 1828 by an elderly and crippled Louisville stableman who belonged to a Mr. Crow. Well, the public, North and South, responded with considerable enthusiasm to Rice's caricature of black life, and Jim Crow had entered the American vocabulary.
The way they bake the whole cake, Virginia never tire. They put the dough up on their foot and stick them in the fire. Wheel about and turn about and do just so. Every time I wheel about, I jump Jim Crow.
Jim Crow ruled the South well into the 1950s and 60s. Four generations of African Americans endured segregation, and race relations today are deeply marked by the experience. Correspondent Stephen Smith sifted through hundreds of recorded interviews with the last generation of black women and men who experienced and remember Jim Crow.
In the early 1990s, dozens of graduate students at Duke University in North Carolina and other schools fanned out across the South with tape recorders, microphones, and curiosity. Their mission, to capture and preserve stories of 20th century segregation before the black men and women who survived Jim Crow passed away.
Okay, my name is Charles Grattan. I was born July 16th, 1932. Birmingham, Alabama.
The students interviewed more than 1,000 people and produced an extraordinary record of what African Americans endured under Jim Crow and how they fought back.
I can remember my mother would have the occasion to send me to this grocery store I told you about that was approximately a mile away. She would give me instructions before I leave home and tell me, say, son, now you pass any white people on your way, say, you get off the sidewalk, give them the sidewalk, you know, you move over, don't challenge white people.
if you went to town during the week, Monday through Friday, the sheriff, well, what are you doing up here? Well, you better get out of town. But on Saturday, you could stay all day. That was the day they said for the blacks.
Why?
I don't know. You could just stay up there all day long. If, through the week, you weren't allowed up there.
Because if they got paid on Friday, they'll come to town on Saturday mm-hmm. and spend the money. That was their attitude.
That's right.
So black people would see, this was like a picnic to them. They would see their friends, their relatives, and make acquaintances and whatnot. And that's the reason Saturday was the day that they called Black People's Day.
You couldn't go to eat in a restaurant. Or if they served you at all, you went around to the window at the back of the place, right at the kitchen, you see.
My grandfather was, he was just as afraid of a white man he was a rattlesnake. Because he'd been beaten and knocked about, you know, so much, he just, no matter what you say or do, let them have their way. Don't you say nothing back to them, no matter what they did.
Well, my grandmother always told me, says, you have a certain place and stay in it. That was automatic. You didn't have to think about it. You knew it and you were taught it.
Jim Crow emerges in the 1890s in response to perceptions, not altogether incorrect, perceptions of a new generation of black Southerners born in freedom, undisciplined by slavery, unschooled in the old racial etiquette, and in response to fears that this generation could not be expected to stay in its place without some kind of legal coercion.
It meant the ugly signs that you saw them at the railroad stations, you saw them at the bus stations, you saw them when you were traveling, it said Negroes to the rear, and it meant that room that was for white was always bigger, always had more seats, and was always better kept. So that was the crest of Jim Crowism, to prevent a group of citizens from being a part of what they rightfully should have been a part of.
My name is Glenda Elizabeth Gilmore. I'm a professor of history at Yale University. Jim Crow was a word that white and black Southerners used for an elaborate system of white supremacy, a system that was established both through legislation in the courts and through custom. It could mean anything from being unable to vote to being segregated to being lynched. It was part and parcel of a system of white supremacy, sort of like we use the word apartheid today as a code word to symbolize a certain kind of white supremacy.
White men and women are dressed as Mr. and Mrs. You didn't address blacks that way. And don't make a mistake talking to a white person about a black person and call him Mr. I was talking about some black woman who was supervisor of schools for black folks, and I kept saying Miss So-and-so. So finally the white woman stopped and said, "Yeah, that woman you talk about, is she black or white?" I said, "She black, but don't miss her to me then. Let's call her by first name. Don't ever miss a black person to me." I said, "No, ma'am."
Jim Crow was a political movement that began with state constitutions, for example, in Mississippi, writing in laws that took the right to vote, effectively took the right to vote away from black people. Basically, it's about power. Who has it? Who keeps it? Who vies for it?
In other words, a way had to be found to disfranchise blacks without risking any federal intervention or any legal challenges. Whites reached a sort of consensus that is, since blacks were deemed to be ignorant and illiterate, they were unfit to vote. So most states then imposed property and or literacy qualifications for voting. And then they went ahead and provided loopholes through which only white men could squeeze.
They'd ask college professors with PhDs to write certain parts of the Constitution to prove that they could read and write. Long passages and they would say, didn't put a period, didn't write straight on line.